Psalm Mark 61. Psalm 61. We'll sing the whole of this psalm. Psalm of David. O God, give ear unto my cry, unto my prayer attend. From the utmost corner of the land, my cry to thee I'll send. What time my heart is overwhelmed and in perplexity, do thou me lead unto the rock that higher is than I. For thou hast for my refuge been a shelter by thy power, and for defence against my foes thou hast been a strong tower. Within thy tabernacle I for ever will abide, and under covert of thy wings with confidence me hide. And so on, we'll sing up to verse 8, the whole of Psalm 81. O God, give ear unto my cry.
O God, give ear unto my cry, unto my
truth. sing praise unto thy name, that having made my vows I made,
keeping God, we are approaching thee tonight in the name of our covenant head, the mediator of the covenant, our king and head, our Messiah, Jesus, thanking you for him, that he is the one who will keep his vows and who will fulfill within your presence the covenant made in the councils of eternity, by which a people would be ransomed from sin, purchased for himself, to be his bride forevermore. Oh, this night we again wish to record our grateful thanks for the debt that we owe to him. What do we owe? Oh, we owe everything, for apart from him, there is no hope, there is no peace, there is no cleansing, there is no deliverance, there is no future, for he is all that we desire, and we thank thee that he willingly, in love, endured that sacrifice, that cross of shame, that Golgotha of anguish and degradation and darkness, so accomplishing that seal of the new covenant in his own blood. Oh, we thank thee for that testament that was so sealed, and that we can partake of his broken body and of his shed blood. We are the inheritors of that great treasure, that great inheritance won for us from the darkness and doom of that we inherited from our first parents and from Adam's disobedience. And we thank thee, Lord, for the glorious transformation there is and the prospect that is open to us, and that every day we are advancing and approaching the coming of the Lord, when he shall appear in the clouds of heaven with the holy angels, and the last trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised, and all who are in his elect will meet him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. May we have that comfort this night, O Lord, for we face a day of gloom with many threats to the Church of God, surrounded on every side by enmity and conspiracy to ruin and reject and trample underfoot all that she stands for and all that she is. And in face of this, O Lord, we have to plead the blood again and beseech thee, O God, our Father, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that thou wilt preserve thy people through every change and that we will know that he that overcometh shall receive a crown of life, that there is no loss to those who are his, that he is sovereign over every age and every change, and that he is moving all things forward towards the consummation of all things. When all are gathered in and shall sit down and eat bread in the kingdom of God, that day of the marriage supper of the Lamb, grant us, Lord, to be inspired day by day by that vision opened up to us by the Lord himself. Remember us each one according to our own physical and spiritual needs, that we may be able to access the blessings, that we may be entering that sanctuary in our own souls, from where we can, through conference and communion with our Lord, receive all needed grace and guidance to make our way with faith and faithfulness in the path that he has prepared for us. Oh, grant that tonight again we may receive the truth which is able to save our souls, that life-giving, nourishing word of the Master, who is the shepherd feeding his flock and leading them into fountains of living water. And remember the pastor of this congregation, and grant him much liberty and joy as he draws water out of the wells of salvation, as he supplies to the people week by week the treasures of the kingdom, the riches of thy grace, and that the efforts to witness around them here may be a means of drawing precious souls out of sin and darkness into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And prosper the witness of this church throughout the land and across the seas, and all who are in fellowship with them, and grant that the reformed cause of these days may be renewed and be recognized as again the very cause that brought liberty and peace and prosperity to this nation, and only through it can we have any prospect for the days to come. And remember those churches that are failing in their calling and whose pulpits are filled with men that have no life and have no salvation and no message. Oh Lord, remember the poor sheep bled by the blind and leaders of the blind. And grant, Lord, a day of light to these churches too, and that our own testimony will have a bearing. We pray for the new ministry begun in Airdrie, and for thy servant there and his family. We pray that he will enjoy great strength and zeal as he sets out around that town and those neighbouring areas to call sinners to come into the worship. Oh, come and let us worship him. Let us bow down with all and on our knees before the Lord our Maker. Let us fall. And if there's any of us here who are still to meet the Saviour, grant, Lord, that he will be revealed to their souls tonight, and they'll be able to rejoice in the one of whom it is said, "Here, come here, a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Messiah?" So grant us our prayer, and forgive our shortcomings, and come over the mountain of our provocation, and bless us. With the blessings of Jacob, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing further as we sing in Psalm number 89 at verse 30. Psalm 89. And at verse 30, singing there up to verse 37. 89, verse 30. But if his children shall forsake my laws and go astray, then my judgment shall not walk but wander from my way. If they my laws break and do not keep my commandments, I'll visit then their faults with rods, their sins with chastisements. Yet I'll not take my love from him, nor false my promise make. My covenant I'll not break, nor change what with my mouth I speak. And so we're singing from verse 30 to 37. 30 to 37, five stanzas. But if his children shall forsake my laws,
but if his children shall forsake my laws and go astray, and in my judgments shall not walk, but wander from my way, and do not heed my commandments, I'll visit them their faults with wrath, their sins with chastisements. Yet I'll not take my love from him, nor false my promise make. My covenant I'll not break, nor change what with my mouth I say. Once by my holiness I swear to David, I'll not lie. His seed and throne shall last a son before me last for it. Yet like the moon shall ever be, he's standing steadfastly, and like to that which in the heaven doth witness faithfully.
Turn now to the Word of God as we find it in the first book of Samuel, the prophet. Samuel chapter 20. 20th chapter of the first book of Samuel. We read from the beginning. Samuel chapter 20. This is after David has killed a Goliath and then finds that the king, King Saul, has turned against him. Then fled David from Naioth to Ramah, and went and said to Jonathan, "What have I done? What is my iniquity? What is my sin before your father that he seeks my life?" So Jonathan said to him, "By no means. You shall not die. Indeed, my father will do nothing either great or small without first telling me? And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. Then David took an oath again and said, Your father certainly knows that I have found favor in your eyes, and he has said, Do not let Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, there is but a step between me and death. So Jonathan said to David, Whatever you yourself desire, I will do it for you. David said to Jonathan, Indeed, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king to eat. Let me go that I may hide in the field until the third day at evening. If your father misses me at all, then say, David earnestly asked permission of me that he might run over to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice for all the family. For he said thus. If he says thus, it is well. Your servant will be safe. But if he is very angry, be sure that evil is determined by him. Therefore, you shall deal kindly with your servant, for you have brought your servant into a covenant of the Lord with you. Nevertheless, if there is iniquity in me, kill me yourself, for why should you bring me to your father? But Jonathan said, Far be it from you. For if I knew certainly that evil was determined by my father to come upon you, then would I not tell you? Then David said to Jonathan, Who will tell me? Or what if your father answers you roughly? Jonathan said to David, Come, let us go out into the field. So both of them went out into the field. Then Jonathan said to David, The Lord God of Israel is witness. When I have sounded out my father sometime tomorrow or the third day, and indeed there is good toward David, and I do not send to you and tell you, may the Lord do so and more, much more to Jonathan. But if it pleases my father to do you evil, then I will report it to you and send you away that you may go in safety. And the Lord be with you, as he has been with my father, and you shall not only show me the kindness of the Lord while I still live, that I may not die, but you shall not cut off your kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord has cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, Let the Lord require it at the hand of David's enemies. Now Jonathan again caused David to vow, because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Then Jonathan said to David, Tomorrow is the new moon, and you will be missed, because your seat will be empty. When you have stayed 3 days, go down quickly and come to the place where you hid on the day of the deed, and remain by the stone Ezel. Then I will shoot 3 arrows to the side, as though I shot at a target. And then I will send a lad, saying, Go, find the arrows. If I express this hidden lad, Look, the arrows are on this side of you. Get them and come. Then, as the Lord lives, there is safety for you and no harm. If I say thus to the young man, Look, the arrows are beyond you. Go your way, for the Lord has sent you away. And as for the matter which you and I have spoken of, indeed, the Lord be between you and me forever. Then David hid in the field, and the new moon had come. The king sat down to eat feast. And the king sat on his seat as at other times, on a seat by the wall, and Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, but David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul did not say anything that day, for he thought, Something has happened to him. He is unclean, surely he is unclean. happened. The next day, the second day of the month, David's place was empty. Saul said to Jonathan's son, "Why has the son of Jesse not come to eat, either yesterday or today?" So Jonathan answered Saul, "David earnestly asked permission of me to go to Bethlehem, and he said, 'Please let me go, for our family has a sacrifice in the city, and my brother has commanded me to be there. And now, if I have found favor in your eyes, please let me get away and see my brothers.' Therefore he has not come to the king's table." Then Saul's anger was aroused against Jonathan, and he said to him, "You son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to be your own shame, and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse lives on the earth, you shall not be established, nor your kingdom. Now therefore, send and bring him to me, for he shall surely die." Jonathan answered Saul his father and said to him, "Why should he be killed? What has he done?" Then Saul cast a spear at him to kill him, by which Jonathan knew that it was determined by his father to kill David. Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and ate no food the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David, because his father had treated him shamefully. So it was in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David. A little lad was with him. Then he said to the lad, "Now run, find the arrows which I shoot." As the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. When the lad had come to the place where the arrow was which Jonathan shot, Jonathan cried out after the lad and said, "Is not the arrow beyond you?" Jonathan cried out after the lad, "Make haste, hurry not to delay." So Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came back to his master. But the lad did not know anything. Only Jonathan and David knew of the matter. Then Jonathan gave his weapons to his lad and said to him, "Go, carry them to the city." As soon as the lad had gone, David arose from a place toward the south, fell on his face to the ground, and bowed down three times, and they kissed one another, and they wept together, but David more so. Then Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, since we have both sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, 'May the Lord be between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever.'" So he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. And then may God bless his word to our hearts. We shall now sing in Psalm number 3. We'll sing the whole of this Psalm number 3. "Lord, how are my foes increased? Against me many rise. Many say of my soul, 'For him in God no succour lies.' Yet thou my shield and glory art, the uplifter of mine head. I cried, and from his holy hill the Lord me answered. Made." The whole of Psalm 3, to God's praise. "O Lord, how are my foes increased?
O Lord, how are my foes increased? Now against me many rise. May they say of my soul, 'For him in God no succour lies.' Yet thou my shield and glory art, the uplifter sin.